Whenever I'm down, I call on you, my friend. I'm calling you now, just to make it through. You are now listening to the Volume 30 podcast with Nick and Sadies. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
No, happy Black History Month.
That's right. That's right. We are how many days in? Four? Three.
Yes.
Four.
I don't know.
But happy, happy, happy Black History Month, you all. 3 days in. 3 days in. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm fabulous. Sitting here sipping my wine, girl. I'm having a great evening. And you?
Oh, I was waiting for you to ask. Thank you so much.
I know you were. I know. I took a sip. That's why. I took a sip. I swallowed. And then I said, and you. So I was going to say it. Let me get my sip on now. Go ahead. Okay. How are you?
Well, I'm going to apologize to you. I actually held this until we had this, until we got together tonight. But I need to apologize to you and my family.
Lord. Lord. Lord.
I have been in a little persnippity type of mood a little bit recently. Yeah. I've just been, I know that you guys have all noticed, my sister, my mom, you, my husband. Even just a couple days ago, he was like, "Is you about to be on your period, huh?"
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. When did you?
Yesterday.
Mine started this morning. How on earth?
Girl,
that's crazy. See, I told y'all we go way back, y'all. I'm telling you, we are intertwined, we are in sync, y'all. Because I don't even think it started this morning, I think it started last night, and I caught it this morning. So we both started the same day, girl. Oh my god, oh my god.
As a matter of fact, wait, no, I started today.
Yeah, it was this morning. You know how you, when you go to relieve yourself and you see the little, you'd be like, wait a minute, why? And I was so happy that it did not make it to the to the cloth. Yes, Lord, to the clothing. It didn't even touch my undergarments. It was just like right there. I was like, yes, Lord, I don't have to. Anyway, I know those of you who are listening who are of the opposite gender probably don't want to hear this part, but yeah. Oh, well, it's part of life. You're going to have a daughter or somebody in your life that's going to have this situation going on. So
right. But to bring it back to how, I don't know. I've been in a mood. I don't know. I just been snapping at people and everything irritates the hell out of me. And I typically, before I start my cycle, I am craving sweets and chocolate because I usually don't even care about eating that last stuff. Mm-hmm. But I haven't broken out, so that's good. So I don't have any
breakouts on my day.
Really?
Me neither. I'm really shocked. But watch tomorrow come and I have one right in the middle of my daggone forehead. Watch.
Yeah. So I just wanted to apologize to you and everybody else around me. I have been irritated to the 10th type of power. I don't know. Hormones is out of whack right now, but trying to get back on track. So
That explains why you were trying to get your that explains probably why you were trying to check me the other day. I said, wait a minute, hold on. Who are you speaking to on this matter, man? You're trying to check somebody. What's going on? It was something very, very minor. I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Who are you talking to in front of? Who are you talking to me in front of? Because you going bananas right now.
Yeah, that irritated me even more because I wasn't talking in front of nobody. I just hate repeating myself. I hate.
Well, please don't ever apply for my job because it's gonna happen every single time you pick up the phone. Every single time, you know, I hate it as well, so I'm always pressing the mute button to cut somebody out. Oh Lord, and it's pulling out my hair.
Yeah,
I must apologize to you as well because you know I had me a little tood. And we know where it's coming from now, huh? I had me a little meltdown, did I not?
We both did. So that's the reason why we've been tripping this week. So if you, I don't know if you guys follow us on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. If you see any posts where we're either being really petty or kind of mean or whatever, just excuse us, please. It's a sensitive time. So anyway, we are going to get into the hot topics this week. So let's get started.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a party. Tea with me. I say, what a spectacular looking crowd we have here tonight.
Are going to get started with our hot topics. So the very first topic that we have is a serious one. Actually, it was a pretty serious week, but this is the very first one. It kind of happened after we wrapped our last episode, and it is the Jesse Smollett case.
Oh, yes.
So for those of you, if you don't know about this, you have been living under a rock. Or maybe you just don't pay attention to, you know, things that are happening. But Jesse Smollett, an actor from, what is that show?
Empire.
Yes, thank you. I don't watch it. But yeah, so he's...
I did say to you all, yes. Yes. Go ahead.
So he's one of the stars on the show. He was attacked on the 29th of January. Just to sum it up, two men from what his accounts were, two men had approached him and attacked him. He's on the phone with his manager at the time that the attack happened, and while he was being assaulted, the accounts were that the two men said, "This is MAGA country," and there was a noose tied around his neck, and there was some type of substance, unknown chemical, that was poured on him. The interesting thing about this case is, now there are so many different reports, right? So when I do look for information, I try to get it straight from the horse's mouth and from the police, you know. So Jesse Smollett pretty much said that although people are saying that he's not cooperating with police, and that he is hindering the investigation, he's provided all of the information he can to authorities, and this is just a really sensitive time for him, and he would just like his privacy, but he will address it further in the future. So I find this topic interesting because almost immediately I saw on social media people were questioning his accounts, or just questioning the
authenticity.
Thank you. The authenticity of his you know, incident. But I just found it interesting. It was almost like, in my opinion, it sounded like people were looking for a reason why his story did not quote unquote add up, like questioning why he was out late, questioning, like, he's a grown man. There's stores that are open for 24 hours for a reason.
I get hunger pains all the time. Everyone knows I'm greedy. And you remember, I remember me telling you immediately, almost after, you know, expressing my concern and disdain for the entire situation. Something came to me. I don't know. Something just came to me, and I called you. I said, you know, I would not be surprised if tomorrow people are doubting his story and claiming that it's fabricated, you know? And then lo and behold, I wake up in the morning and there are articles all over the social media about, you know, this not being true, or, you know, that there not being enough evidence. And I said, look, see what I tell you, you know. And it is, to me, you know, a little he is creating a little room for doubt with not cooperating and handing over his cell phone. But at the same time, he he does not have to hand over his cell phone. He's, you know, that's not something that he's required to do. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know who said that he wouldn't give up his cell phone
An article
because
I read said that.
who?
An article that I read said that he is not handing over his cell phone records and his cell
See,
phone,
and
his
that's
device.
the problem. There's a lot of news that are put out there, and you have to, when you're looking for news, you need to also consider who is creating this
That
news.
part, the source, consider the source.
Consider the source because he actually gave up what the police requested of him. He just said at the time after the incident, he didn't want to immediately, I mean, it was while he was in the hospital. He didn't want to give up his phone at that time, but he handed over everything that they have asked for since then. He just wanted to be able to make the calls he needed to make. They wanted to take his phone in that instance,
Right.
and
And
he
who's to
didn't.
say they're not going to find photos and use other things in that phone to discredit him and, you know.
Yeah, and give a reason to as to not like fight for him. As we know, he is
Right.
a
Things
homosexual
that
male.
aren't even pertaining to that particular incident. They may air other type of dirty laundry and pictures and videos and things from that device that has nothing whatsoever to do with this particular incident. So I don't blame him. I'm a celebrity. I have all type of things that I have in my phone that I want to keep private, that I don't want to be leaked or aired out in any degree, in any manner. So I would probably clean up my phone a little bit, say back some things up, you know, delete a few pictures and videos, whatever it is he wants to do, emails, I don't know what it is. And then hand over what it is that they need, or ask them exactly what it is that you need. I will hand over that particular part of the, you know, the device. If you need the location, you can tap into my location. If you need my call, my voice records, fine. But if you, there's no, you have no reason to dig into my emails, my videos, or pictures. There is no reason to dig into certain things that have nothing to do with that particular case or that situation. So.
Yeah, and as you know, this country does not give a damn about black people, and they definitely don't give a damn about you if you gay too.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I don't ever want to come from a place where I am them blaming. I just want to give him the space and the time to be able to come out on his own because I didn't go through this shit. I didn't go through being accosted. I didn't go through having substances poured on me, a noose hanging or being placed around my neck. It's wrong of me to even,
Right.
cast judgment, just
Oh.
pass judgment and question what he's saying. I have to. I don't want to believe that we're in a time where somebody would make up somebody as big of the platform that he's on would make up something so specific.
Right.
So I'm gonna wrap this up because but yeah, I pray for Jesse, his family. I've always loved the Smollett family.
Yes.
And I just pray for healing for him because that is I can only imagine what he is feeling at this time, especially when you look and you see that you the people that you constantly root for and fight for are the first ones questioning you about this. It hurt. It would hurt. It would hurt me.
Right. I mean, and with the country being so divided, you know, these days, they want to back up any story. They want as much evidence as they can to support this, you know, this case. They want to make sure that people aren't just making random accusations, causing more division. You know, if we just take his word for it and look at this these scratches and run with it, who's to say someone else is not going to make up another story to cause more division and stir up more hate against another race or whatever. So we can't really blame people for wanting to some evidence, you know, and with the country in the state that it is. But same time, we don't want to victim blame either. You know, we don't want to make him feel as though his accounts are not heard or they're not important, you know.
Yeah, I just want to give him some room and some space to be able to, come out on his own and recount the entire situation and, provide as much support as possible. I'm not the victim here. So, prayers up to him and his family while he goes through this, because I'm sure he's feeling it even more than ever. I'm sure you heard about him receiving an anonymous letter. Yeah, so that's tough as well, because, it's just like, attack after attack after attack. And that's,
yeah, you know I can relate.
Right. That's,
it's home. Yeah. That one I would never.
Also, so moving on to Jesse and his family, but moving on to, I know you haven't heard of this before because I'm sure it would have come. Did you know that Tisha Campbell and Dwayne Martin is getting divorced?
Yes. Yes. It was a separation. Now it's definitely, yeah, moving towards divorce. And she doesn't want to be called Tisha Campbell Martin. She would correct you. I'm Tisha Campbell. Thank you. Tisha Campbell. Now she's also what, claiming that there's some abuse. She's a victim of abuse, or that there was some history of domestic violence, right?
Yeah. So I looked into this a little bit. And so she's accusing of Dwayne Martin from hiding money and clothes. She's also clothes? Accusing.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. She's also accused him of punching her in the chest. And there is an existing restraining order against him. And it was granted. So for those that aren't familiar with restraining orders, just because you request a restraining order does not mean that it's going to be granted. Pretty much how it works is you got to be assaulted before anybody gives you or grants a restraining order. I'm pretty sure there is evidence of abuse. And she says she's been abused since 96.
Yeah, I read that as well.
Yeah, and so that brought me back to the whole Martin situation. Because remember when she left the show saying that Martin was, you know, being inappropriate.
Or something of that nature, yeah.
Yeah, saying that Martin was being inappropriate with her. And, you know, when you think about an abusive man or abusive person, I wouldn't be surprised if he had something to do with her leaving the show too.
Oh yeah. I've always thought that. Maybe he was very jealous, you know, and and forbid her from continuing the show, you know. He didn't like the dynamic. He thought that he may have thought that it was, you know, their chemistry was a little too familiar. Like, hold on, y'all, this doesn't seem like acting at this point. Y'all may be a little bit too into each other. I don't know. He may have gotten a little bit jealous, you know, and didn't like the chemistry they had, because I mean she has not in any other show had that type of chemistry that she's had with Martin. She hasn't.
No, they actually did seem like a real couple.
Kids, I did love her on my Wife and Kids. They had a wonderful collaboration and chemistry, but it was not like her and Martin. It did seem like a real love, didn't it?
Because I could have swore they was a couple, child, when I was younger. And I just
so much so that he turned around and got a wife that looked just like her. Was he married twice after the show, or was he married during the show and then married again? All I know is that he had a girlfriend and a wife or something of that nature that looked just like Gina. Both of these exes, when you look them up, they look just like Gina. I think he may have had an obsession for her that we are probably ignoring at this point. I'm not going to say it's all Dwayne Martin's doing and everything. He's seeing things. There may have been a little bit of obsession on his part, Martin's part, maybe, that he was picking up on that she was oblivious to or what have you, but it was magnified by his jealousy and abuse, you know. And I don't want to, okay, quote unquote, what he's accused of.
Allegedly.
Abuse, you know? Alleged abuse, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just to piggyback off of the, I don't want to make it seem like Gina was this, you know, like she didn't have any part. When you work with somebody for so long, right, even before she had met her husband, when you work with somebody for so long and you play their partner, there's going to be a little bit of a gray line. Like, it's just going to be a gray area where things can bleed over into one another, especially if you go into the situation while you're single. And then how do you navigate that now that you have a partner, and maybe a partner that may be a bit, you know, like, I don't feel comfortable with you doing that.
Wait, back up. So they were not together when she started the Martin show, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. I thought so.
Yeah, they weren't.
And all of a sudden, we still feel like it was our breakup. We would all cry. You can see in the very last episode how his tears, like his eyes were puffy. You could tell he had just got finished crying. And it was a very emotional last episode for him. And it still breaks all of our hearts to see that last episode. And I feel like it changed him for the long, I mean, for the long haul, because he was not as, he just was a different Martin after that. Was he not?
He was. And I think it was very, it's telling even now. Like, I think he's starting to get back to, you know, I think we all fell in love with the young, spunky, like fun loving
goof
Martin, you know, and eventually I just saw a shift in him as they went through the season, especially towards the end when it was like really, when you can tell Gina was not just not around. It made it seem like she had this big job in New York and, you know, she went or in California or something of or another, that she just had this big job she had to go to. And you could just tell the show felt different.
Yeah.
They tried to like fluff it up with more parts in Pam and Tommy and Cole, but it just wasn't the same. And I could see like things kind of shifted. And then you also later on in Martin's career, after the show ended, you see that he had, you know, a mental breakdown and stuff. And, you know, he had tried to get his life back on track.
I forgot about that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was, it was really telling. So, I mean, you know, Martin is a part of everyone in the community's, you know, childhood and upbringing, and which we still, mind you, I don't even think I told you this. My sister's children, they watch Martin. They know the song and everything.
See, I mean, look at how influential, like, look at how much of an impact he had on the sitcom, you know, comedy world. It's bleeding down to it. This is the second or third generation for them, the second generation for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and it, we can say, oh, it could be a maturity thing. That's why he's different. But look at the other comedians. I mean, they didn't make that big of a shift. And who they are, I mean, Cedric and others, you know, they're still just like Steve Harvey. If you look back on some of his old, material, he does not seem a little too far off of where he is today. He doesn't, it's not a big shift, you know, in who he was back then and who he is today. He's still, you know, funny, still got the same little antics and, you know, personality, little traits. It just seems like he's completely off now.
Well, I think that the difference between Steve Harvey and Martin is that Martin got started in his career at a very young age, you know, so I see that celebrity and, you know, Hollywood life affect people differently when they actually have to grow up in that space. You know, it's just certain things that you are exposed to. There are certain things that you go through while you grow up in Hollywood, which is why a lot of people don't even make it up out of there, you know, from being a child star to, you know, becoming an adult. I think Steve Harvey, he started when he was already an adult. So Martin, I mean, I saw some of his early work while he was really young, and he didn't start off, you know, where people noticed that he was the star that he was, you know, becoming Martin Lawrence. So yeah, I watched his stand up where he talks about his breakdown, and it was very interesting.
I haven't seen that. I would love to.
You haven't? You got to check it out. It's really, really good. It gives you some insight as to what he was truly going through on the inside.
So he's because being serious the entire time. He's not doing anything, you know, funny or goofy or crazy or anything, right? It's just
goofy. No. It's of course it has a comedic
feel to
it. You know, that he always throws some comedy in there, but. And it is funny, but he is, you could tell it's coming from a really real place. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, now I understand him because.
But this is in relation to the Martin show canceling.
And then, yeah, him trying to like find himself. And he just had a really.
Which brings it back to my point. It took a major toll on him and changed him for the long haul. It was not something that, you know, it took a toll on this man. And it
right, yeah, it took a toll on him, but I think he's getting back to it.
And no, yeah, but back to Tisha Campbell. Was there any other points?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
At first, they were talking about how their, you know, separation or their divorce will be really, you know, everybody will just go their own separate ways. They're still friends. They want to raise the kids. Blah blah blah. You know, the same thing that everybody else says. And then it starts to get a little nasty. So it looks like it looks like they are heading towards the nasty direction. So we will keep everybody updated and informed.
It's like she's doing all the talking. She changed. I don't know if it's a front or what, but she's out there being spunky, changing her hair, cutting off one side of it, just being on all the shows and just, you know, getting back to her, getting back to her old self. If, or maybe, I don't know, just masking the pain with all this, you know, I don't know if there's pain or first relief. Sometimes it's relief. It's like, oh, whoa, I'm free. Praise the Lord. I can be myself again. That it could be that, or it could be, I don't, you know, I'm just going to prove to this man I don't need him. I don't know what she's trying to prove, or if she's actually really happy. One would think she is, because she's involved in a lot of things. She's picking, her career is picking back up again. But you see her in all in the limelight right now, and he's just dealing with whatever it is that he's dealing with in private. And the little statements that I do pick up, or that I do find and I discover, they are really respectful. Have you seen anything from him that's nasty yet?
No, he's actually taking the route of being quiet and not, okay, and like literally like being silent. So
yeah,
I don't expect him to say anything unless it gets really like, you know, something really presses his buttons. But I think I see him taking on the, you know, I'm going to be a peacemaker. Because if she's saying that he's abusive and all of that, him coming out and saying stuff and seeming like he's in the aggressor, or like he gets agitated easily, mm-hmm, will not work in his defense.
Have you said anything in defense to him being an abuser?
No.
Wow. Wow. That's something that you should definitely defend yourself against. Definitely. You should never allow someone to say that. So that's me. Says guilt, says guilty. If you're not
really, I feel like people are going to have their opinion regardless of what you say. And I think that when it comes to people saying something about you being an abuser, folks already, the court of public opinion, you're going to be guilty whether you say something or not. Because people, you could say something and they're like, well, he just sound like you, or he just seemed like he just saying something. And no, he still seemed guilty to me. I don't know. I don't like the way he said this and that. And right, it's like, well, you damned if you do and you damned if you don't.
Pick it apart, dissect it, and find a way for you to be guilty anyway. So, I mean, that's a huge accusation, though. I mean, that's, to me, I don't know, that's on the same level of someone saying I abused a child, I did something, I molested a child. I'm sorry, if there's a huge accusation out there about me like that, I'm not going to remain silent. If I know I did not commit a crime that heinous, that to that degree, I'm going to say something in my defense. You're not going to accuse me of being a child abuser, a woman, be a man, be anybody, any something of that magnitude, and I say nothing. That's just me. That's just me. So,
right. And I think that's where we differ, because mm-hmm, I can relate to that. People have said all kind of bad things about me, and I've always taken on a stance of, if you know me, then you know me, and you know that I would never do no shit like that. So me trying to defend myself against this crazy obsessed person, there's no reason for me to do that, because they're the ones who looking crazy going around telling everybody that, you know, this and that about me. I have not mentioned this person at all. I'm not worried about you. But you look crazy as shit going around talking to people about what I did and what I, you know, what type of person I am, when you honestly don't know me. You just don't like me.
Have you ever been accused of something of that magnitude, though?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And it could either be, I would much rather take my, instead of me trying to go campaign and, you know, try to tell everybody, you know, I didn't do this. And, you know, I'm showing you, like, nothing you can do will convince somebody
who wants you to be, yeah, who doesn't understand.
Yeah. If the person already has in their mind made up, like, okay, well, I feel like, you know, this person is telling the truth on this person, and, you know, they're just defending themselves because they don't want people. No, you don't believe what you want to believe. People who are close to me know that no matter what, I would never do no shit, like, ever. And the people who get close to me know, okay, this person must have been lying because, you know, they're doing all of these other things and they seem like they're guilty. I mean, they seem like, you know, they're lying about it. There's no reason for me to change who I am, change the way, because naturally I'm not the type of person that has to go around and talk to people about stuff. I just don't. I sit back and I continue to focus on me, and I put out positive vibes. That's just the way, that's just the type of person I am. I'm not going to waste my time or energy pouring into something that's negative as shit.
For you to go around campaigning and wasting time and energy and doing all this extra, a simple statement of something, okay, is what I'm saying. And let's think back to the people who thought O.J. Simpson would never do something like that. He's the people's champ. He's the greatest guy of all. I've never seen him ever raise his voice to her. I've never ever seen him ever do this and that. He couldn't possibly. When you are a victim of abuse, I'm telling you, people always. And for some reason, these abusers, because, you know, I've been in this position, the abuser is like the most charming individual ever. And the people who know him as a friend, as even as a relative, could never know them on a level of in a relationship. This person is a totally different individual with me. You have different expectations of him as a child, you know, as a father, as a mother of this person, as the cousin or whomever, as a friend, than someone who is a life partner with them. They see a whole different side. They can wake up and go to bed with this individual, and they see a whole different side. They can push different buttons and triggers that will make this individual turn into a monster. You know what I'm saying? So it's just not enough for people who, oh, you know me. No, you know me in dosages. You know that individual in dosages. You know them as a coworker. You know him as a brother. You know him as a sister. You know him even as a mothers don't even sometimes know their child as intimate or as deeply as their spouse or as their partner does, like partner does. So that is not enough. That is not enough to eliminate guilt whatsoever. You can't go on the strength of that whatsoever. You need to defend yourself. Just a simple statement, say something. That's how I feel. If it's something like that, you're not going to say, oh, Nicole molested a child. Ain't no daggone way in the world Nick did that. I'm going to say something. I'm not going to sit back and say, oh, you know me. Y'all know me. I'm not going to say that. To me, sometimes silence is an admission of guilt. You have to say something. You can say a little something and then leave it at that. If you said it one time,
I feel like the people who you're talking about are narcissists. They are like full-on abusers. I think those are the type of people who go around charming folks and taking on some type of personality that's not their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so those people are naturally going to say, ooh, I got to hurry up and I got to convince everybody based on my actions, you know, I wouldn't do this. No. They're not campaigning like saying like, oh, well, I wouldn't do this. They're not submitting us or saying a statement or anything, but they definitely are, you know, writing down a statement or saying their statement by their actions. And only thing I'm saying is simply saying is that when you are accused of doing something like abusing a child, or you are accused of, you know, whatever the case is. If you are accused of that, the only people that matter in my life are the people who are in my life. And those people, because I keep my circle so small, those are the ones that matter to me. And so I wouldn't mind somebody asking me a question like that, because I'm not guilty of anything that crazy. So if it's brought up, then absolutely I will defend myself. But for me to make a statement, to make it so broad as to like put it on my Instagram or put it on my Facebook, one, it draws more attention to the situation.
Put on social media. But there should be some type of stuff. I'm sure someone has questioned him somewhere. But I got to find an article somewhere that says he's defending himself somewhere. He's a celebrity. He can't just limit his concern to the people who are in his life, because he needs to make money. He's a celebrity. That's his bread and butter, being out in the public. So he cannot let.
Well, who's checking for Dwayne Martin? I'm not.
Okay, there are roles out there for him, though. If he wants to ever pursue a role, you don't want.
What's the last role you seen him play in?
It doesn't matter. I'm saying if he wants to. I didn't say he's doing roles or not. If he wants to pursue a role that he is, you know, that he really wants to be a part of, or a movie he wants to be a part of, he needs to make sure that that people aren't thinking what they want to think about him. He needs to, you know, put something out there to defend himself, so they're not thinking, okay, I'm hiring a woman abuser. I mean, just like with Shonda Rhimes and the guy who played on Scandal, was it Scandal? And he got, she fired him because of what was going on, the allegations of him with his wife, him put his hands on his wife, having like a domestic issue with her. That is going to hurt his career moving forward. People are going to say, I don't want to, you know, hire this individual. He's a woman beater. He's an abuser. If he's not, and that was actually proven to be true, you know, but if he's not defending himself, they're going to think that the same thing, and he's going to be in the same, in the same boat as, what is his name? The name of the actor.
Who was? Girl, I don't know. He ain't acting either. When it comes to Dwayne,
that's his name, Columbus Short.
Yeah,
released from.
So when
you don't want him to be blacklisted because of this, you know, this is his bread and butter. He needs to say something in his defense, just a little statement, something classy, and keep it moving. That's how I feel.
Right. So when it comes to Dwayne Martin, I'm sorry, Dwayne Martin, child. I'm thinking of Martin and Dwayne. When it comes to him, I don't know. I think you damn if you do, you damn if you don't. It's your personal choice to come out with it or not.
Yeah.
I think in the court of public opinion, typically people gonna believe whatever they want to. So I mean, if you want to save your, I haven't seen him acting anything anyway. So I don't know what roles he's getting, maybe commercials or something that I ain't seen in my own. But you know, if he wants to save his career, this would be it. Oh, you know what? He was on The Real Husbands of Hollywood.
And no, didn't he just play? Oh my goodness, he was in like a life, not a lifetime. Someone's he would play like a manager of some sort to a boy group or something. Didn't he play? He just played a major role, like as producer or something. One of these movies, like Tupac or something. It was one of those movies that were released, and he played a role. But the thing is, it can hinder his career, and plant seeds of doubt in people's mind to even hire him for a role. So I think it's best he says something, or maybe we just wait until the divorce settles and, you know, it's finalized and we find out what's true and what's not in the, you know, in the case and the decree or whatever.
Right. And I think that kind of, you know, even with the Jesse Smollett, this, you know, when you're accused of something, it's best just to sit back and let the evidence come out, because somebody's wrong. Mm-hmm. Somebody's guilty of something. And so whether you're going to be found out about, you know, being guilty or not, it would just be in your best interest to sit back and let that, you know, let it come out if that's true. Yeah. But again, the court of public opinion, because people's opinion, about 60% of people are questioning Jesse when, you know, certain clips were caught on tape. He said two men attacked him. He saw two men in the video. Yes, you didn't get everything, but damn, how much evidence do you need? What? I mean, he has marks on his face and stuff. Like,
so a video has been discovered now?
Yeah.
Okay, because remember they were saying they went through hours of footage and didn't find a thing. Now that there's video evidence of two men leaving a...
See, and that's why I could tell that... I don't know where you get your information from, but if you go search for it, you'll find that while they did not get the incident on camera, because they didn't capture that. They did capture two men that he described walking towards the area that he said he was attacked at. So it looked like the men, based on what he, you know, who he described, it looked like the same men that was in the video, and they're still trying to find them. But it's not like there were no men at all. Like, it just seems like people are trying to see how this story is a lie. Like, oh, if you don't have, just because you don't have something, the whole incident on tape does not mean that it does not make it untrue.
Yeah, like I said, like,
you know, I just
from coming out and just conjuring up stories to cause division. You know, like, okay, just because he's a celebrity, we're supposed to just take his word for it. You know, he could be trying to gain some type of not popularity, but, you know, exposure and ratings for the show when it comes back on air or whatever. They're trying to make sure there's a scandal behind this, or in the and that people aren't just going to come out and start conjuring up stories, drumming up stories to cause division and boost ratings for their show. So,
Well,
and
I don't, to be completely honest, although I've never watched one episode of Empire, because that's just not my cup of tea. What I do know is that everyone else around me does. So I don't know why he, out of all the other stars that are on there, would need to conjure up any other attention to this show that has been on the air for I don't know how long.
don't watch it, so that means you don't follow the ratings and don't really follow any of the feed that comes along with it. They're from what I hear, what I've read, the ratings have been dropping. I wouldn't say vastly, but they have been dropping. So this could be something that's going to boost people's attention, convert their attention to this show when it comes back on the air. That's not my stance on things, but they're just making sure that this is not something that celebrities can get away with, or people who are in the limelight can get away with, just to boost ratings. So they're just, I don't know, people are doubtful, individuals, people are skeptical, people, I would say, they're naturally skeptical. I would say people are naturally skeptical, especially with how things are going now in this country. So they're just trying to make sure they have as much evidence as they can to support his claim, and then.
Yeah, I just find it very interesting that people are doubting his story. And I know that it's something else behind it, and it's because he's black and gay. I feel like if it was someone else that everyone, liked, as far as I just don't understand why people take so much stock in what people do in their bedroom. I don't want to be that person, but I have gay people in my family. I see how different the black community treats
Okay,
gay people, specifically gay men.
not a legitimate
And
concern. They're just saying it's not a legitimate concern to want more evidence behind this. They're supposed to just take his word for it. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying take his word for it, but what I'm saying is that how quickly people came to say that it's like everyone is trying to find a reason why this did not happen to discredit him, as opposed to saying, let me sit back and see if there's any more evidence, as opposed to making videos and making statements and all of that, pretty much questioning every single thing that happened when I don't see that happening to someone who is not black and who is not a gay male. I don't see that happening. And it's sad to me that as a community, we do not band together more, where it's all of these divisions between ourselves. I mean, it's sad that there are so many videos questioning him, as opposed to saying, you know what, while I don't know exactly what happened, regardless, he was injured in this situation and I'm praying for him. I did not see a lot of
That's
people
my
say
stance
that.
on it. That's exactly my stance on it. But I'm not going to deny the fact that there is legitimate concern for, more evidence. Let's cooperate, get as much evidence as we can out here to support this claim, and continue onward and upward with this, fight for justice.
I just want everybody to keep the same energy. That's the thing. Because I don't, and I can't wait. Oh, no, I don't want this to happen to anyone else. But I want to see how people act if this happens to someone else who is not a black
Can
and
you,
gay male.
okay, well, give me an example of some
No,
type
I'm
of,
going to wait.
okay, we'll wait for something similar to happen to somebody who is not of African descent, someone who's not black. We're going to wait for something like this to
No,
happen.
I'm going to wait until it happens to somebody who is black but is not gay. Because I think that's what the issue is.
Oh, really? I disagree. It's
Okay,
because
well, I'll wait.
I think the issue is because it's a, it's a MAGA, Make America Great Again. It's an attack against their, community and their support for Trump and that type of thing. That's what I think it's more so about. Oh, if you're going to make a claim against us and villainize us as the bad guys and do this racial divide stuff and get your black people all riled up and mad at us, we need solid evidence of this claim before you guys start rioting and acting a daggone fool. And I try to be as objective as I can, try to tap into that emotion, whether I, because even though I'm not Black, and I mean, even though I am Black, I'm sorry, and try to think of it from their point of view just for a tiny millisecond and say, you know what, if somebody tried to attack my support for Obama, it's kind of like with white people who always say, oh, the pro-Black people, the ones who are, what is it called? Those of us who are, who say Black Lives Matter. You know how they tried to villainize us and say that we were a racist group who were terrorists and going around and rallying at people and trying to stir up hate. And that's not what that whole situation was about. That's not what they, you know, that they represented. So,
well, I wasn't talking about white people. I was literally talking about the Black people that I saw on Instagram and on YouTube.
Well,
trying to discredit this.
You were saying that, well, look at the source. It's nothing but white people who are saying this, da da da. So I'm basing it on.
No, I said, look at the sources who are creating the ads and the, like, because you said you did some research. And I said, okay, well, then who put it out? And you said, who put it out? And I was like, oh, okay, well, you have to consider the source. I'm not saying that. They created the space for people like us, people from our community, to go and voice our concerns about it. They created an ad that said, pretty much, is he lying? Or, you know, created, you know, sparked a flame, which ignited something in us. And because of our bigotry against gay men, Black gay men specifically, we went in and said, you know what? Maybe he is lying. I don't know. I need some more evidence. And I feel like
all I know is that someone made a claim against the Black Lives Matter movement and said that we attacked them and we did this and we did that. And it was, we are Obama supporters, some Obama supporters and Black Lives Matter people came and attacked me. Da, da, da. You know, we're going to want some proof. You know, we're going to want to see, you know, if a famous celebrity, Brad Pitt or somebody, whoever came out and said that some Obama hat wearing people who are Black Lives Matter t-shirts said I was a white this and honky that, whatever, and they attacked me. Our Black behinds going to want some evidence. We're going to want some evidence for you before you go getting your white people all angry and mad at us and want to go around, you know, slapping the first Black person they see. So I'm just kind of trying to be a little objective here and think of it from another person's point of view. And heck
no. Well, I don't know.
I'm not selling out at all. All I know is that if they made that accusation against us, I would be like, yeah, where's the proof, white boy? Where is it at? I want to see it. I would want the same justice or the same proof to be pulled.
I think that the groups are completely different. I know that they're different. Make America Great Again, the MAGA people.
Right, but again,
I don't even compare them to Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives Matter was created in response to the hatred and the bigotry of,
I know that, but they look at us, I promise you, they look at the Black Lives Matter group as a terrorist, thugged out group that is going around stirring up hate and that is, they don't understand our movement. They look at the Black Lives Matter movement just like we look at the Make America Great Again people. So it's not how you see it, it's how they see it. That's my point.
No, I get that. And so what the basis of what I'm saying is that one, I don't care about white people. I don't even trip off of them. My thing was in our community. I want to sweep up our own backyards and our own front yards. And what is disheartening for me is to see so many people from our community question him, as opposed to just saying, you know what? While I'm still on the fence about this thing happening, instead of me putting out that I'm on the fence about this happening, I'm going to say, you know what, prayers up for that dude, or not even say anything at all. Because when you do say stuff like that, that does give other platforms to say, oh, look it.
Mm-hmm.
Look it. They got some discourse going on in there. Let's spark something up.
Yeah, their own people are doubting him. Blah blah blah. Yeah, that thing that right there, I do agree with you on. Let's, you know, I would say united front. Never speak against your own people. That's what you don't do, you know.
Yeah, do you see anybody else doing that in their own community? Hell to the nah.
Sometimes they do speak up and
I'm talking about the majority. Yes, a few of them may speak up, but for the most part, they're united.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
How the hell did we get back to Jesse? Anyway, okay. So, the last, do you know who B. Smith is?
I don't.
Okay, so. So, B. Smith is a restaurant owner. She is a model, author, and a television host. She was pretty big in the 80s, but of course, she's a strong, beautiful, powerful Black woman. And unfortunately, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's some years back. She was on the Oprah show. She was on, you know, a bunch of different platforms talking about how Alzheimer's has affected her. But unfortunately, within the past year, the disease, you know, is ravaging her body, and she is starting to lose her memory. She is starting to, you know, all of the conditions that Alzheimer's, you know, places on you. And he, while he said that he would be by her side until, you know, this disease completely takes over her body and she is no longer with us in the physical form, he moved on with a girlfriend.
Oh, how, wait, how soon after?
No. B. Smith is still around. He is still taking care of her. And
Okay.
he has a girlfriend who lives in their home. Yeah, I think that's what that's what a lot of people's reaction was.
So how does she feel about this? Does she, is she able to convey how she feels about it?
She is her, mind you, her mind is deteriorating. So she's not even herself. She's not quite there.
Okay, how long has she been in this state? It doesn't matter. He's married. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's married. He's supposed to, yeah. Wow.
That's my issue. Like, and then he's going around saying, you know, while my wife has this disease, you know, I'm not gonna let it, you know, stop my life. I still gotta live. And I'm just like, you raggedy,
Oh my.
raggedy nigga.
Oh.
Oh, it makes me so fucking mad. Like, you had vows. Like, you said that you would take care of her. And you can't, you just can't wait long enough until she, you know, succumbs to this disease.
I mean, the vows say to death do us part, not to a disease that deteriorates your mind, do us part. It does not say that. Death.
Right.
These men, it's just when I start getting some hope, just when I see a romantic love story that ends well, I get a dose of something like this, and I'm like, oh, Lord of hell. Ain't no hope. Ain't no hope, Lord. No, I can't. I just can't.
Oh, they trifling, child. The old ones, the young ones, the in-between ones, they all motherfucking trifling. Just irritating.
Oh, please, please send me some.
And then guess what? Guess what? She white.
Who? Wait, which one? Who?
Bitch, the girlfriend.
Father in heaven. I'm just here to help. I'm here as emotional support for our situation.
Yeah, you are more emotional support my ass. You emotional support all right. You emotionally support that dick.
For that check, no, for that check, for when she did, for when she passes away.
Yep, she gonna be, and that's why, you know what?
I'm sorry, they have the nerve to call us Black women the gold diggers. I don't believe every single time I see, and Lord Father, forgive me, but every single time I see a white woman with a Black man, it's the ones who got it going, who got their lives together. It's the ones
Right.
who be having a big old fat rock on their finger. It'll never be the you know Tyrone or the Strutt. Never going down. It's always the ones who I don't understand. These men so blind. Lord have mercy.
Was just about to say that. Okay, so
Sure.
I was just about
Just so they can run over to the ones who want the man that's all put together.
they be so busy looking at us with one good eye open that they miss Becky over here, you know, stealing from they, you know, they retirement.
Making babies with other dad going with your best friend. Sure.
Right. Like, you got your nerve. And you know what? For y'all out there who want to go on over there, take your black ass over there. Bye.
It really be the ones that we don't even want any daggone way. It really be
the ones. I was about to say that. You can go ahead and take your black ass over there. And guess what? When she play, you don't come back over here.
I do. Do not. Come back, and then they be like, you know what? I think I miss just a few things about so-and-so, about the white woman. I'm confused. They be confused. They come back over here, so I'm done with them. And then they, you know, start missing. Wait a minute, you're a little bit too black for me. I think I missed certain things about the white girl. I think I'm torn. They'll be the confused ones. Don't come back over here, ladies.
You can't have my collard greens and my yams
and my
sweet potato pies
and my cornbread.
Yeah, but you can't have none of that shit. You take your black ass over there. Go eat some. Eat that rice pudding. You can have them peas
with the rice.
I don't. You can have all of that. You can't come over here. Go over there with your. What else do they be making?
Like I said, green bean casseroles. Yeah. Raisin pudding and whatever else.
Okay. Oh yeah, fruit cake, bitch. You can go over there with your fruit cakes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Girl, Fantasia got a song called "Collard Greens and Cornbread." Don't come back here for the collard greens and cornbread.
God, that song sound like it tastes good. Yeah.
when it's convenient. Don't come back over here when it's convenient, when you want to prove your blackness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or when she done sucked you dry and you ain't got shit else, and you gonna come back to me when you ain't got no money now. No, bye.
Shot. Daggone. Look here. Shoot, I went on a tangent. Let's go back. Going back to the lady and her husband with the ass, with the man with the woman with the hat with the Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's. I can't even say the word. I'm so daggone just kabob-lading the man. Shoot.
You hella stupid.
She's gonna benefit from the daggone from the money.
Right.
From the insurance.
But anyway. He said he's not, he's actually been going around saying he's in love and he's not going to let his wife's illness stop him. So, you know what? Hey, everybody, you know, karma, don't give a damn who you are.
That good old karma, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Don't give a damn about who you are, what you've done, any of that. So when it come back on around to your old stinking ass, don't be trying to bring, you know, don't be trying to, repair your relationship with black women, because we are pissed off. Okay. B. Smith did not deserve that. She deserves so much more than that.
Yes, that is true. The black delegation will continue to deny you. Stay there.
Well, you know what? Well, no. I wouldn't say the black delegation. I'm gonna say the black woman's
delegation. All of us. That's it. Good day. Okay.
All right, guys. So that wraps up our hot topics for the week. We are going to take a break and we will come back with the listener letters / follower findings of the week. Yeah, this your man, I hate to be him. It goes down in the DM. It go down in the DM. It go down. It goes down in the DM. It go down. All right. Welcome back. It is time for the listener letter / follower findings. I am going to hand it over to Nick because she has some things that some of our listeners have sent to us.
Yeah, so this one's from my friend, Mr. Hudson. He did want us to touch on the topic of toxic traits. He wanted to know what we believe or what we have found as some research on gearing around this topic of toxic trait. He wants to pretty much know what are early signs of toxic traits or toxic behavior. And I did do my own little bit of research, but since I have been involved in a few relationships that were toxic in the past, I can actually put my own spin on this one. But there's a few red flags I would say. One would be gaslighting. This individual is pretty much like this we all know, if we don't aren't familiar with what gaslighting is, they blatantly deny their own manipulative behavior, ignore evidence, pretty much dismiss it as critical if you attempted to prove to disprove their fabrications with facts. And they pretty much condition you to believe that the problem isn't the abuse itself, but instead your reaction to their abuse. Okay. You know, I know that one all too well. That's that. I would say that would be one. They're a hypocrite. You know, they pretty much contradict everything that they say. And I will also say that they refuse or cannot put themselves in your shoes, or anyone else's for that matter. Do you have anything to contribute to that?
I do.
Excuses, pathological lying excuses. I will also say that's another toxic trait. Lying, I would say, is number one. Being a pathological liar, habitual liar, would be number one. But what do you have to add?
So my thing is something that stood out in my very short dating career or dating life is control. When someone is telling you that they don't want you hanging around this person, or they think that they make you believe that, you know, your family is against you, or somebody who tries to tell you, you know, don't wear those shorts. You know, I don't want, you know, my woman out here, you know, showing all her thighs and her legs and all of that, or comparing you to other women and saying, like, I'm glad you don't act like that, because if you act like that, you know, me and you couldn't be together. And, you know, those type of controlling spouses and or partners just leads the way eventually to abuse, physical abuse, because that right there is just the beginning, you know? And I think that's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you were going to continue to expand on that, but I had another one to add, but go ahead.
No. I was just going to say that to me is the main one, and probably the only one that I can think of as of right now that sticks out to me. The controlling thing is really, it's a really tough thing for me. And in line, because, ooh, shit, I can't stand. I'm gonna give you a story. Yes. But go ahead. Are you ready for the story, or you want me to wait until you're done?
Oh well, I have one more to add, but go ahead and get tell a story. I'm listening. Chat.
Okay. So we're just gonna go back into the files. Ooh, thank God I ain't single no more. Chat. But
there are perks now, but go ahead.
No, I'm sure there are, but I am good, because just
I'm blaming you. Go ahead.
The things that I have gone through, child. But there was one time, a person who shall not be named. I was I was with somebody, child, and we had just gotten into an argument. I was supposed to be going out to a function, because it was very early in my early 20s, but I was going to, or actually I wasn't even 20 yet, but I was going to go to a function, and my partner at the time, he was like, "Ooh, this is perfect. If she go out to a function, then I can go out and screw everybody else." And so not only, but they, you know, this person did not want me to did not want me to go anywhere. He wanted me to stay in the house so he can still go out and screw other people. And what happened is he said, "Okay, well, you about to go out with your friends, fine then." So he started an argument and was like, "Then I'm leaving." And so this fool already had a cab waiting for him down the street.
Thank you.
He already set up his little rendezvous. And so instead of me going off to the function and being like, you know what, forget him, I'm still going to hang out with my friends, because my friends was always saying that I was dissing them for my dude, because of course he couldn't keep his thing in his pants. But anyway, I chased him down the street.
Because he saw the cab, or?
Yeah, because I was in the bathroom and all I heard was a door slam. And I was like, did this nigga just leave?
He picked the fight, so he would have an excuse to go and do it. That is like the ultimate, like, giveaway, man. We can tell when you just picking a fight to go and justify your behavior. But go ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I hear a door slam while I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, this nigga, I know he didn't. Yes, he did. So I grab my kids so fast, hop in my car, and like it's honking down the street, like chasing them. I'm chasing them down the street, and I'm like, get your motherfucking ass back in the port. You know, hella mad or whatever. And so the cab driver stops and was like, okay, we're at your location. And I was like, wow. He was going to some girl house, and I was like, mm-hmm. raggedy nigga. But what were we talking about? Oh, toxic. Okay. Toxic behavior. Yes. Oh, well, we were talking about liars. Okay. So
liars. Ooh. Yes. And selfishness. I have another selfishness and crippling thirst for attention. Okay. I mean, these people drain your energy. You know, they consume your entire life. Demand your adoration. I mean, like their demand for your adoration is insatiable. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like when you thought you were the only one who could make them happy, but now all of a sudden, anyone with a beating post can fit that role. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, this person who's thirsty for attention and selfish is toxic. You know, like this to me is an early sign, or one of the signs, not early sign, but one of the signs of a toxic relationship, you know, and finding yourself explaining the basic elements of human respect to a full grown man or woman. Most people, you know, the normal people understand fundamental concepts of honesty, kindness and stuff like that. People like this are oblivious or play dumb when it comes to the simple elements of human respect. Don't let that mask fool you, though. That person should not have to be told how he or she is making other people feel. They know that. They know the golden rule is treat people the way you want to be treated. And you have to continue to repeat yourself and beat that into a grown-ass person. And it's causing you a great deal of frustration. That's also a sign of, you know, early toxic behavior or toxic relationship. You have anything else to contribute to that?
No, whiny girls and
liars.
Yeah, but for no reason,
lie about the sun being in the sky. Like, I mean, just the stupidest things.
Well, as a former liar myself, mine wasn't rooted in, you know, and like I wasn't trying just to be deceitful. I used to just lie just to not hurt people's feelings, because I wasn't good with telling the truth if I knew it was gonna hurt you. So we're not talking about them type of lies.
That's different. No, someone who's avoiding hurting your feelings, that's different. I'm talking about people who bring out the worst in you. They make you question your own sanity. Like, oh my God, I thought I was a sane individual until I got with this person. Now they're bringing out sides of me that I didn't even know even existed. You know, that's considered to be one of the number one traits of a toxic behavior or relationship, like I said.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. So thank you so much, listener, for sending that in.
Mr. Hudson. Yes, yes. And don't we have a follower finding? Someone found a meme of some sort. This one is a really good one. Let me go to my inbox and find it. Yes, this is one that was posted earlier on a follower's news Instagram feed, and they forwarded it to our inbox, and it says, quote unquote, mothers, please stop sexualizing your little boys with the words like, my son is fine as fuck, AF, my son fine as fuck, and stop allowing y'all friends to call them they boyfriend. If fathers are going around saying my mother fine, your daughter is fine as fuck, or allowing their homeboys to say where my little girlfriend at, it would be a problem. Little boys get molested and raped just as much as little girls. Rant over. Facts. And I never even looked at it that way at all, because, you know, most of the time the mother has the child, and we know how we think. We know that we're sane individuals. We know that we're capable of making the right decisions and the wrong from right. Mothers are usually the nurturers, and we are the ones who are level-headed. We don't usually think about these little boys in that way. You know, we know we're taking it from our own experience, because the mother, like I said, is usually the one that raises the child. And it is hard for you to look at it as anything other than an innocent, beautiful child that you're raising it to be to a grown man or woman. So we don't, to us, it's a joke, you know, usually. So we don't think about it like that. Usually the fathers that are absent, you know, I would say maybe in the Black community, they're the absent parent, and they don't view the child. I wouldn't say they don't love it in the same level, same degree that the mother does. They don't have the same connection with the child as we do. So we tend to be more protective of the male species when it comes to our children. So we're not as cautious with women as we are men, because women are nurturers by, you know, by heart and by nature. But this is a good way of looking at it, you know? What do you think?
So I think that whoever created this meme was spot on. I see that all the time, not just in our community, but everywhere. Everybody's saying they son so fine, you know. Even my somebody I had dealings with would make jokes and say that they would rub on their mother friend's like leg and stuff, which, and they would allow that to happen. And
who would allow that to happen? The mother?
Yeah, right. No, like, oh, they're just so cute. You know, he rubbing on your little leg, girl. He, you know, he gonna like girls when he get older. I think it's, I think it's also that women and men are excited about the fact that their son.
Yeah.
Yes, you already know where I'm going with this. Yep. Is
I knew this is going to come up because I was going to bring it up as well. But I was waiting to see what you thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that it goes back to, ooh, yes, my son is straight. He like women, and that's right. Cool with me because he's straight.
Right.
I also think that it is foolish with all of this information out here. Now, back in the day, it would have been okay for me to say, okay, well, people just don't know. But with all of the information you have about people, regardless of whether it's men or women, people are fucked up. And there are too many stories about women violating young boys.
Yes. Yes.
Just as much as young girls are violated and vice versa. I mean, hell, I was just watching Ayanla last night where there was a woman who said that her foster parents, man and woman, raped her. So it's not just
the men.
Yeah, right. I think these conversations are very important to have because it opens people's eyes to, like, you know, just be very cautious of who they allow around their child. I think that, like, my sister, she even said, you know, my kids don't if I don't vet you to the fullest extent, my child is not going over there. Your kids can come over here.
Right.
But I don't just let my children go out all willy-nilly, and it's because of how crazy, I don't know if it just seems like things are crazier as you get older, or they're really fucking crazy right now. So this is a really good point. So thank you to you who sent this to us. But I think that this should be discussed more. I think that we're so quick to, this also speaks to how we look at young girls when they are violated. It's like, okay, so why you got that dress on? And why you dancing like that? And why you looking like that? And, you know, what do you expect for men to think if you walking around here like that? As opposed to,
you just know, holding the men accountable.
As opposed
to identifying the sickness and highlighting the sickness. You know, not a child being a child and being innocent and wearing what they have on. Again, that goes back to the description of a pedophile. It is not a fast child. It is not a child who dresses like an adult. It is a sickness in a adult who is attracted to a child and acts upon it. Okay, so it doesn't matter what the child has on or what they don't have on. This person is a pedophile. They are going to be attracted to that child regardless. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't take, you don't take precautions and dress them appropriately, you know, but in no way does it mean that you victim blame, you know?
Right. And I think that, unfortunately, women are quicker. It's quicker for people to say, to blame the woman when they are violated. As opposed to looking at, you know, like you said,
that
men are sexual in nature. Men are dogs. Men are, you know, gonna stick their thing in a hole in the wall if they could, you know. So, and women are, like I said, more level-headed, and we make wiser decisions, and we have more restraint and that type of thing.
That's you can't make a decision when you're being violated. You can't.
Right. I'm just saying that that's the what people tend to think. They tend to think women have more restraint, and, you know, we don't suffer from that type of sickness. It's men who are wired this way. So it's usually innocent when it comes from women when they say things like, hey, that's my little boyfriend right there. And I'm not even gonna lie, I am guilty of saying that, but I'm completely innocent in saying it, you know. And now this being brought to my attention, before this was brought to my attention, it never even crossed my mind that it could be, it's like a double standard, you know. It never even crossed my mind whatsoever until this was brought to my attention. So I do thank you, follower, for you know, bringing this to our attention and putting it this in our inbox. Now it's making me not question, but be more cautious of what I say, you know. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh no, what I was gonna say is I think that's the reason why I love these type of conversations, these kind of discussions. Because as we grow, right, regardless of whether we get older or not, but as we grow and we learn more information, it is important to look at yourself and say, okay, so what are some of the problematic things that I've done? And that's the only way you do grow. Because there have been times to where I look at a little boy and be like, oh my gosh, he's so cute.
There's really nothing wrong in saying he's going to be such a handsome little boy, such a handsome man when he gets older. There's nothing wrong with saying that, but say, oh, he's fine as hell. He's going to be, oh, he's fine.
Yeah, that's a problem for me. I've never said anything like that.
Yeah. That's my little boo, you know. I mean, I still think to an extent it is innocent. But everyone is not you. Everyone is
right.
Everyone's not wired like you. I know when I say it, it's completely innocent. Lord knows I love me a real man with some, you know, some testosterone and a beard and a grown man. Lord knows. But you can't think that everyone is wired like you. And it didn't cross my mind until, you know, this was. But it doesn't mean that when my children come home, I don't ask them both the same questions. Hey, has anything inappropriate happened? It doesn't matter if I dropped them off with a male or a female. I ask them both the same questions. You know, I know that they're both capable. Both genders are capable of committing this type of, of violating a child. But the statement of, oh, that's going to be my boo, that's my man, that's my little boyfriend, that never crossed my mind that it was a double standard, you know. Sending a message that it's okay for women to do it, but not men, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good finding. Good find.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. And that takes me to our next topic. We have a listener letter, and this person will remain anonymous. I'm just going to name them Love Jones.
Unless you have give them a fun name.
Give them a fun name. Go ahead. You think of something. I thought that was fun.
Damn, I lost it. I was gonna say something like
Jelly Belly. I don't know.
I was gonna say something like Crusty Feet or something. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, this person, no. If we were talking about a walk on the beach or something like that, I would say Crusty Feet. But this is about a love topic, so I would call them Love Jones. I don't know.
Okay.
I
can't give anything else. Okay, Love Jones.
Hello, Nick and Sadie. This is the letter. So this says, my boyfriend has a son who is 19 years old and still lives in the household. We bump heads from time to time, and it's starting to take a toll on our relationship because my boyfriend doesn't correct his behavior or his disrespect toward me. We are talking about taking things to the next step, and I'm not sure if now is the right time with all that's going on. Are kids a deal breaker? Should I tough it out and hope it gets better? Because I really, really love him.
Dump his ass.
Come on. It's not that simple always. I mean, they have time invested. And
how much?
She didn't divulge. If they're talking about going to the next step, then one would think at least a year or so, 2, 3, maybe. I mean, but you can't put a time frame on how much you love someone, you know. So if they really invest in and love each other, the child lives in the household. I'm assuming it's with both of them because she didn't go, she didn't elaborate. But at this point, let's look at the age. To me, when I read this letter, I saw age, and that's what actually made the difference for me.
That was
You
going to be
know?
my next question.
Okay, the child is 19, which means they're probably on their way out the house
Oh, okay.
so pretty soon. So this individual is not going to be a constant presence in the home. Not to say that this person, that this child or this adult child, does not matter and their feelings don't matter. But to me, that they shouldn't be a major factor if this adult child is old enough to live on their own. And this is a dependent child, then we would have to visit this and go to counseling. And it may be good to go to counseling at this stage as well, especially if we're talking about going to the next stage. But if this is a young child, it definitely is a deal breaker. I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker. No, Love Jones, it's not a deal breaker. Not for you, because you've invested all this time in this individual. This person's, if you're compatible with this person, you love them, you think this is a rare love, and you don't think you'll ever find it again. This is something that I think is probably a temporary situation. I don't know how many times I've talked to couples who've been married for 20 plus years, and they were talking about how many obstacles they face with stepchildren in the past. Oh, this person's daughter or son did this to me way back in, and we have a great relationship now, but you have no idea how much this person had resented me and hated me, just, you know, because of, you know, maybe because they wanted their mom and dad to be together and not this new individual. The person could have probably have done nothing to them, but they're just holding resentment because they want their mom and dad to be together. They don't want their mom to get hurt again. Yeah, so like I was saying, and I don't know how many times I came across couples who've been married for 20 plus years, and they talk about how many obstacles they face with stepchildren that gave them a hard time in the beginning, and they have a great relationship now. So, I mean, time will heal things and make it turn out okay. I don't think it's worth, if it's worth fighting for, and it's a healthy relationship, I don't think it's worth, you know, throw it, it's it, you shouldn't throw it away. You definitely shouldn't throw it away because of an adult child that has an issue with the person that you're with that's making you happy. This adult child's going to grow up, go get out of the home, have their own family, and you're going to look around and be miserable and lonely because you're getting rid of everyone that this person doesn't like. If this child is doesn't like it, if their disdain for you has nothing to do with anything you've done to them personally, then it's something that will blow over, something that is not worth breaking up over. If you have not offended this adult child, this child, whoever it is, personally, and they just have an issue with you because they don't want to see their parent hurt again, or something about your personality, they just don't like, they'll get over it. They're gonna grow up, have their own lives, their own family one day, and they're not gonna be too busy worried about what you got going on. And you're gonna look up and be a miserable and alone because you're too busy, you know, trying to make sure that your adult child is happy with. To me, I'm sorry, if the child is a dependent and they solely depend upon you and they are under the age of 18, yes, this is something worth, you know, diving into, maybe getting some counseling for. And it's okay to get counseling even if it's an adult child. You know, it's counseling is always good in any situation, family counseling, therapy, whatever. But if this is an adult child, they have their own life to worry about. They should not be a deal breaker. They should not have that much power to come in between the two of you. Is there anything you would like to add to that? Because I can go on and on about this one.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm just, letting you get it out. No, I think speaking from a child who was, my mom was married to my stepfather. And they had been together from the time that I was 6 up to 22, I believe. As you can imagine, I'm a girl, right? So I did not want my stepfather around at all. And I voiced to my mom all the time. It wasn't like often, but it was often enough to where I said, I don't want him here. And thinking back on that, while I was young, I had, early on, I just didn't want him there. As I got older and they had their own issues in their relationship, I noticed there were other things that made me feel like I did not want them to be together. I just didn't believe that they had a healthy relationship. But
years old, you could not make that.
Well, right, but I'm getting to that. So as I got older, I believe I was 19 or 20. I had it was 20. I moved back in with my mom, and my stepfather and I had went through something, and I pretty much told her, like, you know, are you going to side with him or me? Because if you side with him, then I'm not ever talking to you again. And she was like, you're grown. It's my husband. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to get the fuck over it. Mm. And I didn't talk to her for 2 years, I think. But and putting myself in that situation, if I'm looking back on that situation now, if I was in a relationship with someone and my child was 19, unless they had a valid reason to tell me that this person should not be in my life anymore, like that person did something towards them physically or sexually or something like that, there's really no good reason for us not to explore having a conversation and trying to figure out why there's so much discourse. So reasonably, just give him and the child some time and have a conversation with them. It's nothing that a conversation can't solve, right? So it seems like there's a breakdown in communication. I thought that initially she was just saying, you know, they have this young kid. Because if it's a young child, there's, you know, I would say to back off of that relationship, because you can't really come in between somebody and their child when they're young, you know. And I'm not a mother yet, and I know that. So
you cannot tell them, you cannot put them in a situation to choose and in a position to choose you over a young child. But what really grinds my gears is someone giving an adult child that much power. They should be living their own life at that point, because I can guarantee there's going to be someone that comes along in their life that you do not approve of, and they're going to continue to date, love, have children with, marry, and what have you. And it is going to drive you nuts that you don't have the power to break them up, but you're giving this person that's a power that you don't possess for their life. Because when they find that type of love, ain't no way in hell that you or anyone else is going to come between. I don't know how many times I've seen episodes where kids turn on their parents and kill them because what is it called? Those shows, they're called not Snap. There was another one out there called For My Man or something like that, whatever. But they would turn around and kill their parents who they loved and adored, because some man has gotten their claws in them, and they're madly in love with them. So they're going to get a taste of their own medicine when this adult child falls deeply in love with someone and loves them on a different level than they do you. And you're going to be like, I done gave up and I done pushed aside an individual for you. And you don't have the same. You're not doing the same for me.
No daddy, no mama, no nothing that's going to come in between that type of love when they find it, you know.
Right. And just to piggyback off of what you said, it's true. When I got older and I moved out, I wasn't worried about my mama. I was like, okay, well, she can do whatever the hell she wants to. I'm not tripping. It's just while I was in her house, I didn't want them together.
But there are some that still be, you know, so obsessed with their parents' lives, even when they are out of the home. And that to me is an unhealthy relationship. I mean, talk about toxic. Toxic can be in all forms, all types of relationships. It can be toxic relationship when it comes to a mother-daughter, father-daughter, sister-brother, whatever, a sibling relationship. And that to me is one of them. But what actually, I'm going back to the letter, what actually resonated with me was when she said that the boyfriend isn't correcting the behavior of the disrespect towards her. See, now if he's actively, you know, correct this behavior and given the child setting boundaries with the child, then I believe this wouldn't even be happening. You know, you respect my soon to be, you know, wife or whomever, or you can move out on your own, or you can, are you not welcome here? That's what the conversation should be. You know, so to me, the issue is with your man,
Yeah,
not
because I was
really,
gonna say
yeah, not really
that.
the adult child here at this point. How much
Yeah,
respect
that.
do you have for you? How much, I thought we were having one of those moments where you couldn't hear me again.
No.
Oh yeah, so like I said, it's actually going back to the situation with the to you know, Love Jones, your situation is not the it's not a deal breaker with the child, it's actually the man. I just realize it. Your issue is not with this child, your issue is with the man. He needs to set boundaries. If he loved and respected you, he would not allow this to continue. And this is at
Yeah.
this point a grown child, a grown yeah, grown child that is on their way out of that home. So it should not at that point at this point be an issue whatsoever. Do you guys should be making some type of step for them to be getting out of there at some point and doing their own thing.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to a bigger issue. If you guys are having problems with the communication, and it just seems like there's something else you should be worried about, which is him not being able to correct people when they disrespect you,
Yes.
which could be something, because if it's not the child, then it'll be a cousin, then it'll be an auntie, then you
Mom.
have to, you got to address that right now. And if you guys can't work past that, then maybe take some time off so that way they can understand, just have some time, some space to think about if this is something you will truly be able to accept later on.
And sometimes, you know, you when you wonder where this disrespect is coming from, it could be because the father is feeding the son information that he should not have any access to. He should not be in you all's business. They may have a relationship that outside of the two of you that is so close that he is divulging information about you that he should not be telling the son. And he has, you know, drummed up or conjured up his own his own opinion of you based on the things that his father said about you. You know, so again, this goes back to him. I'm telling you, when a child or an adult child is this unruly, this disrespectful, and becoming this much of a nuisance or a problem, it is because of the man or the woman that you are with, the relationship that they have with that child. Because if that child respected their parent, they would not cause disarray. They would not cause that type of discourse in the relationship. They would want to see them happy. If they aren't contributing to this happiness by shutting their mouth and staying out of the way, it's because this parent is expressing to them that they're not happy with something that their significant other is doing. So it's a deeper issue here.
All right, so that wraps up this episode of the Volume 30 podcast. Nick, do you have anything?
Yes, actually, I wanted to shout out one of my dear friends. Her name is Ashley Caprice. She started her own podcast last week. She has a whole list of credentials. She has her, well, she was a former radio host here in Sacramento, V101, a radio host, and has a slew of other accomplishments, but she did start her own podcast. I know you guys would thoroughly enjoy it. Go and check her out. Her website is where you can find her podcast, Ashley Caprice, ASL. HLEYCAPRICE.com is where you can follow her and listen to her newest episode. You Go Girl is the name of her podcast. Do you have anyone you would like to shout out?
Actually, yeah, I do have something. So, our giveaway. We are having a giveaway. We are giving away two gift cards, one to Sephora and one to Target. They are both valued at $40 each. And our giveaway will be going on until February 7th. So, if you would like more information about our giveaway, feel free to go to our Instagram page where you can find details for the giveaway. And make sure you follow all three instructions in order to qualify for the giveaway. If you guys have any questions about the giveaway, feel free to send us a direct message on Instagram. But yeah, we're doing a giveaway. It's really exciting. And we will be announcing the winners, and we will also be shouting them out on our Instagram and or the next episode of our podcast. And awesome. I think that is about it.
Yes, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Volume 30, and enter in that giveaway. The deadline is the 7th, you guys. You got to get it in by this. Is there a certain time on the 7th, or is it 12:01 a.m.? What's the deadline on that day?
The deadline is midnight, so the end of that day.
Okay.
All right, so that wraps up this episode of the Volume 30 podcast. We will see you guys next week. Bye. Bye-bye. We never run down. I call on you, my friend. I'm calling you now. Just to make it through. When they go, you should know that. I've got your back. It's automatic. So never hesitate to call. 'Cause I'm your sister. Don't wait for you.